Welcome, 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 folks. Thank you for tuning in again for another episode of Bards Rise. I have a very special show for you guys tonight. Tonight's show is going to be called Homesteading with Mike and Leah, Q's Process. So, Mike and Leah are return guests to the show. They were last on the show on April 24th of this year. With them on that episode was Robin Chavez, who was then from the Awakening Wave show, which was also on BBS, and another guest, the lovely Kelly, all of whom were going through the process at the time of homesteading. So tonight I have for you Mike and Leah's personal story in not only setting up, doing the homesteading, but also defending it as well. It's going to take more than one show to get through their whole story. So if you want to hear the whole thing, I'm going to have to ask you to tune in once again. I suspect it'll be at least two, maybe three shows to get through everything. But tonight, I'd like to introduce them and just hit the wave tops, okay? So first, some housekeeping. I'd like to define the terms homestead and homesteading. If you go to Yahoo and you look up homestead or you Google homestead, Yahoo defines homestead with as two definitions. First, a house, especially a farmhouse and outbuildings. And the second is as provided by the Federal Homestead Act of 1862, an area of public land in the West, usually 160 acres, granted to any U.S. citizen willing to settle on and farm the land for at least 5 years. I like to refer to that type of homestead as homestead with a capital H. And then I'll add a third, because there are some states out there that use homestead to refer to really any single family home, which is also subject to a mortgage. And that's not the case with Homestead capital H. You're not subject to a mortgage, taxes, or anything. You own the land free and clear directly from the federal government without any encumbrances whatsoever. So that's homestead. Homesteading is, and I'll throw this in, these are my definitions, right? A way of life involving growing your own food and being as self-sufficient as possible on the homestead, your farm, right? That we just talked about. And the second one is the Homestead Act of 1862, which was repealed over time. So again, my use of the term for this show and going forward of homesteading refers to the process of reclaiming a land patent or land grant that was given under the Homestead Act of 1862 and using the process that Q taught us. There are other processes to homestead, right? To reclaim that original patent. And there are a couple figures out there. And I'd say the biggest difference in from what I saw of the processes is they teach that you have to create an entire chain of title that goes from the original land patent all the way to the present owner, as opposed to Q's, who says, no, all you need is the original land patent and your deed, and then you basically ignore all those others and you just step straight into the shoes of the original land patent owner by giving due notice, proper notice, and filing with the Register of Deeds. And that, again, is what we will be focusing on tonight. There are other people that are talking about Q's process I recently discovered. One of them is Conscious Cowboy. In fact, he's the only one that I know of. I understand that he has a website that has a lot of great information on Q's process. He's true to Q's process. So I encourage you to search for that if you're interested in this stuff. So, our guest tonight. I just want to have to say that just yesterday I was thinking about my time in talking to them, meeting with them, just reviewing everything that they've been through and just how they present themselves. They struck me as I mean, an absolute dynamite couple. They are like the American poster children for couples and homes, the entire homesteading process. And they actually struck me. This came to me yesterday as the two major characters in the movie Grease, Olivia Newton-John and John Travolta. They are absolutely rock stars, and I am honored and privileged to now call them my friends and to work with them in bringing all this information out on my show. So, without any further ado, please, Mike and Leah, welcome to the show.
Hello, hey Q, how you doing? Thanks for having us. Or Q, I'm sorry. Thanks. Thanks, Michael. Thanks for having us.
And I'm Leah. So yeah, thanks for having us.
No, our pleasure, my pleasure, for sure. So, I said that you were on my show back in April 24th. Have you been on any other shows since then?
No. Nope.
Okay, nothing on social media that people can look into?
No, we have not.
Okay. All right then. So this is it. You go from that show to this one, and we're going forward. So, how did you guys meet?
Well, we were high school sweethearts, actually. So we actually met when we were in middle school, 7th and 8th grade, and kind of dated for a little bit and then got back together as if I was a freshman and Mike was a sophomore in high school, and we've been together ever since.
And tell me, what do you guys do for a living?
Well, I was a kindergarten teacher in our hometown for 19 years, and I left, oh, a few years ago. What was it? Right after COVID. I stuck around for 1 year, and then after that, I couldn't do it anymore. I was refused to wear the mask, and I just had a pulling at my heart that I needed to stand up for our rights, and I needed to do something else, and so I left a few years ago.
Great.
Yeah, and go ahead.
Go ahead.
And I'm a builder, so I've been a builder since sit for 20, 25 years now, and build new homes, remodel homes, do all that kind of fun stuff.
So, do either one of you have any experience in homesteading?
No,
No.
absolutely not.
What about the legal foreclosure process?
No.
Definitely not.
Okay. And initially, when you first started this, did you have any experience in defending homesteads?
No.
No.
No. Okay. So my point is that you don't have to be an attorney or have all this legal background or all this specific information on homesteading or the Homestead Act in order to get involved in the process. So, walk us through the decision-making process. Well, first of all, how did you learn about homesteading?
Well, we had been following some of Q shows, PRQ, and being inspired with Q. And I think that started maybe back in 2022, maybe. And so we'd been following his shows, and then he had brought up homesteading. And so we started looking into it before he even started the homesteading show. So that's what we just from him talking about it.
Okay. And would it be fair to say that you can summarize the entire process of homesteading with basically two categories or two parts? And that would be doing the research, right? Finding the land patent. That's would be category one. And then category two would be the public notice and actually doing the steps that Q talked about on his show.
Yes. Yep. And
Okay.
we can go into those steps, later.
Yeah, that would be great. So I want to just do the broad overview. And then a third step would be defending it, right? Defending your homestead. Now, Q used to say that, if you homestead, you got to be able to defend it. But, that's That can be a very bumpy road if you're not really informed. But we'll get to that at another time. And because I'm also trying to give some information to the people that are new to the show or that will be new to you and homesteading, and let them know, what they could or could not be in for. So those three steps, would it be fair to say that they're iterative, that they're independent of each other?
Yes. Yep.
Okay. So as far as category one, right, to find the homestead, you can go out and do the research and find whether or not your property actually sits on a land patent that was granted, over 100 years ago. And then just leave it on your shelf and not do anything with it, right?
Yeah, definitely could.
And n you wouldn't face the possibility of foreclosure if you were to do that?
No, you can get that and leave it for 100 years if you want.
Okay. And then the second category or part, actually filing the public notice and or giving public notice and then filing the paperwork with the Register of Deeds with the county. Would that be a separate or independent step in this overall process as well?
Yes.
So then you can do that and not face foreclosure, right?
Yes.
Right.
Yep. You can file all your paperwork with the Register of Deeds and yeah, and just leave it. Yep.
Okay. So what will end you up in foreclosure?
Well, I think if when for us, it's when you stop paying the bank, when you stop paying the, once that happens, then they start their process.
Right, which would be the foreclosure process and eventually illegal eviction. And I guess the same would be true if you stop paying taxes.
I would assume so, yes.
Right. Okay. But we're not there yet, so we won't talk about that.
Yep.
But why did you want a homestead?
Well, it was for freedom. I mean, we just, hearing Q's process and talking about it, and we wanted to be free on our land. And I remember, so that started it, but I remember we called in, it was, I think maybe like the second show. It was August 17th of 24, and we called into the PRQ homesteading show. We had gotten our patent and we were so excited. And at one point, he said to us, "How do you feel about freeing your whole county?" And if you listen to that, you can hear our voices, how we never even thought about that. I mean, we just got so excited that yes, of course we would want to free our whole county. And so that's kind of, I just feel like it just kept going from there. And we also have a community center building. And the way Q made it sound is that, I mean, that's what we needed to do as well to get that building going. So we didn't have anybody bothering us. So yeah, so freedom. And then for you, Mike.
Yeah, I started looking into a few things after we were talking and listening to Q shows, and I started hearing these stories, and one of them was right close to us, and just the next town over, and it was an 80-year-old man had paid off his house. He'd lived there for 40 years or 50, however long, and got sick, and the last like 2, 3 years he was not able to pay his taxes, and they came, I don't know if it was the state or who did it, but they came and took the guy's home. He had his house paid off, but he couldn't pay his taxes. And I'm sure, I'm just assuming, I'm guessing this, just it was just, I'm just thinking it's a little old house. And he loses his house. It's paid off because he didn't get to pay his, couldn't pay his property taxes. And I'm thinking, is this real? Can this happen here in our country? And then, to me, after now in this process, we're learning that, I mean, you can get a $500,000 loan and pay 28 years out of 30 year your 30 year mortgage and maybe owe 20,000 on it, and you're done. They're going to take your house from you. If you can't pay after that, the last 2 years, you're in trouble. Or you've missed 3 months payments after 28 years. You're in trouble. So to me, there's got to be a way. We knew there has to be a way. We want to get this new way out. We want to let people know about it. And that's kind of how it started for me.
Well, thank you for go ahead and following that, following through. So, when you decided to do this, did you have any reservations about the process?
I didn't really have any because I mean, I was just so excited that I thought that everybody, I thought everybody was going to be doing it. I didn't really realize until later that there were not as many as I thought at first. But you did have some.
Yeah,
So.
I did have a few reservations, honestly, Michael. I just, for me, the one thing that I kind of deal with still to this day is people are like, Mike, but you made an agreement with the bank, right? And I'm like, yeah, you got to think about that. Like, there was supposed to be a handshake. I mean, that's the way I was raised. That's the way I'm taught. You're only as good as your word. And I'm thinking, yeah, I did. Have an agreement, but I did learn. I have learned in the last 2 years exactly who the banks are and how they work. And once people learn how these places work, your mind will open up and it's going to open up so much to you, and it's going to make you mad. It'll make you mad. And that's To me, that was my only reservation, is I had it. I did have an agreement, and you're supposed to be a man of your word, and that's really how we should live. So that was my only reservation.
And I can understand why you wouldn't, but would you mind expounding on what you just said? What do you mean when they learn about the banks and how they work?
Well, one of the things I've been reading and we've learned over a little while is that a lot of times, when you just sign a paper, you sign a mortgage, there's most 99% of the times there's not even money that gets exchanged. It's a signature. And by you signing this document, they take that document and they take it up, and just your signature gives the money. And I'm thinking, well, if my signature is giving this money to the bank, why can't the signatures just give the money to me? Why do I have to go through a bank? Understanding this, why? And I don't know all about it right now yet, but I know I've read enough now to know that my signature with these banks are it's not needed. It should be coming directly to us. The money should be.
And there's just a lot of corruption. They're just corrupt.
Yeah, we're going to get into that a little bit later or another show as well. So it sounds like, because I also have done some research, right? And we talked about some of this offline. Is it fair to say that you're referring to the SESQV Trust?
Yes.
Right. So we all have one, been given one at birth. And according to other figures out there on social media, you'll never find this on mainstream media, but those accounts by the time you're 21 is worth multiple millions of dollars.
Right.
So yeah, the bank is monetizing our signature and basically committing fraud on us and the public.
Right.
So, and since I brought up fraud at least, what about Q would often say that you can't be embarrassed on your land, the homestead cannot be sold or mortgaged or taken away from somebody for any reason, regardless of what they did. And now I bring in the title companies, right? And what they're searching for is the chain of title that goes back to just before the land patent. Is it fair to say that the title company has a stake in not allowing people to know that their land or property at one time was land patented?
Well, I would think so. I mean, that's kind of how that's where their business comes from. And I hate lumping them all into one group, Michael, because I do know a couple title companies, and I know the people there that own them have really good hearts. But I do agree with what you're saying. I mean, if they were to tell their clients that, hey, this is what you need to do to truly have a loyal title, they're not going to be in business too long. I mean, they might be for a few years, but eventually they're not going to have any business left.
Yeah. So right. And I didn't mean to imply that all the individuals were corrupt, but just as an industry, it's just not what they do. Right.
Yes.
And then, and thank you for, making that distinction. And I'll put a challenge out there to anyone who happens to be listening that either works for or owns a title company. Continue to do the research. I mean, it's what you do, and see if it goes back to a land patent. Right? And give that entire chain of title all the way back to the land patent to the new buyer. And see what happens, but from my understanding, it's the title company that actually monetizes your signature. After you sign, the title agent gets the phone, he goes back and he has to call the bank, or I believe it was the bank, and get permission to monetize your signature. And usually that phone call happens outside of the room
Yeah, of
where
course it
everybody
does.
is. So for those who are about to go into a real estate transaction, test what I'm saying. See if it's true. If the title agent does make a phone call or steps outside, ask them, why are you stepping outside for this? What was the conversation? Who did you call? Why did you have to get permission? If everything's on the up and up, and then try and trace it back. Do your own research. Don't take what we are saying as, the quote gospel truth. Confirm it. Although it is accurate what we're saying, what we will tell you, do your own research.
Exactly.
So thank you for making that distinction. Yeah, I put that challenge out to all the title company owners that may hear this show. So we talked about doing the research, right? Finding a land patent, and now public notice and filing. Just off the top of your heads, as non-lawyers, what's your understanding of the significance of that category, that overall step in the process?
Well, the public notice, that just gives the public, you put in on your property, and then you also put, like, we put ours at our local library, and it gives them notice, and it gives the public a chance to, like, refute or say challenge that they have higher title. And so I think that's just the legal way of doing it. I don't know. Anything else with that?
Right. So it's not like you're trying to do ambush law or something, right? You're giving due notice to the public and no response. And then you step in and as the rightful owners of that property, at least under the banking system, you're rightfully on the land. You then step into the shoes of the original land patent holder.
Yes.
Right.
Yep.
Okay. Do you guys happen to have your patent with us? Or with you?
We do.
We do. I've never seen a land patent, not even yours, as many times as we've talked. If it's not that long, would you mind reading it for the audience?
Yeah.
Because I've never seen it. I'd love to hear what it says.
Absolutely.
And it's kind of, I'm making him read it because it's kind of really small. He actually has a flashlight so he can really see it better. But it's really small and it's in cursive or calligraphy. Yeah.
It's cursive.
Yeah. So it's kind of hard to read, but
Right. So any of the younger generation, they might have a really hard time with these
for
because it's all
sure.
cursive.
Yeah.
So I'm just going to leave out just the names and the counties, if that's okay with you,
Yeah,
Michael.
no, that's fine. Yeah, that's irrelevant for our purposes here.
Okay, so this is an official document, and this is right from the Bureau of Land Management in Virginia. That's for our area. Virginia, that Bureau of Land Management for our Eastern area or Michigan area, I should say. And it says the United States of America, and it gives the certificate number right on the top. And it says to all to whom these presents shall come greeting, whereas, and this is the person of the certain county in Michigan that it was granted to, has deposited in the General Land Office of the United States a certificate of the Register of the Land Office at Detroit, whereby it appears that full payment has been made by said person, that person's name. According to the provisions of the Act of Congress of the 24th of April, 1820, entitled An Act of Making Further Provisions for the Sale of the Public Lands. And then it says for like the northeast quarter of certain sections. So then it kind of goes into that. I believe this one was 160 acres. Oh, right here. 160 acres. It does say, like the quarters or the quadrants here. And then it says, according to the official plat of the survey of the said lands, returned to the General Land Office by the Surveyor General, which said tract has been purchased by the said person that that purchased it. Now know ye, or yea, I think it's YE, that the United States of America, in consideration of the premises and in conformity with the several acts of Congress, in such case made and provided, has given and granted, and by these presents do give and grant unto the said person and to his heirs the said tract above described to have and to hold the same together with all the rights, privileges, immunities, after chin, I can't repronounce
Princesses,
it. APPURTNPENADN.
yeah.
Princesses, yeah.
Yeah.
What?
Of whatsoever nature thereunto belonging unto the said, and this is the person, and to his heirs and assigns forever. And then it says at the bottom, it says, in testimony whereof Martin Van Buren, President of the United States of America, have caused these letters to be made patent and the seal of the General Land Office to be hereunto affixed, given under my hand at the city of Washington, the 5th day of May in the year of our Lord 1857, and of the independence of the United States, the 61st, by the President Martin Van Buren. And then it says recorded or recorder of the General Land Office.
And then on the back, it has a stamp on the back and it has an authorized signature that's I hereby certify that this reproduction is a true copy of the official record on file in this office and that it's dated with the signature and then it has the raised seal.
Embossed, yeah.
Yeah.
Wow. That's awesome. So one thing that struck me while you were reading that, first of all, it was coming obviously from the federal government. And we've all learned in middle school that we have a republic, right? They have federal government and then you have the state government, state and local governments. And neither one can tax the other. Neither one can control the other. So federal government can't say, hey, Michigan State, New York State, Florida, you have to pay us X amount of dollars in taxes every year. It just doesn't happen. And the same the other way around. A state can't tax federal property. This property was given to you by the federal government to hand to have and to hold forever, which means that nobody can put any limitations on you. Under the with the power of the federal government. That's it. Those 160 acres are fenced. So
That's
local
right.
laws don't apply, zoning laws, nothing. But yet somehow between the granting of that patent to the original owner and now you as the holders of that land, something went awry. I mean, really, really badly.
It sure is.
So you're in the process of reclaiming that federal patent, which you have a right to do. Something else that struck me is that it said 160 acres. Is it, do you have 160? Your property's 160 acres?
No, they are not.
Okay, so what does that mean for your neighbors that are within that 160 acre boundary?
Well, what we did, like when we filed it, we just filed it with what our property was.
Our
So,
property description.
yeah, so that's how we filed it as our own, just what our property description was.
Okay. But because that the original land patent was 160 acres, is it fair to say that your neighbors, so long as they're within those boundaries of the original 160 acres, they too can do this process?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
So, something else for the listeners to consider out there. And the same for any other patent out there. Right, you can follow this process as well.
That's
And
right.
again, this is Q's process is not the only process, and it's not the only process that has worked. It's just not made public because, the cabal controls the banks, the mainstream media, and everything, and they will not let this information out because a multi-billion, probably trillion-dollar industry would just go up in smoke.
Right.
All right. So the last time you were on the show, you said that you attended two foreclosures. Could you describe why two?
Yeah, so we have a school building, and we have our house. Both of those had mortgages or loans on them. And we so let me back up, Michael, if I can right here, I'll tell you. We had a loan on each, and from a few years ago, the bank that we got them from was one of our local banks. They gave us a loan, no problem. And it used to be a really small town. They only had just a couple branches, and they were very small town. We knew everybody that worked at them. They're just good people. They were the handshake people. Well, after we did that, a year later, it got sold to another bank. And then things started changing a little bit. We weren't working with them as much, but we still had our loans through them. And then it got bought out again by another bank. So a third bank. We signed all the documents with the first bank. It was sold again. And then sold again a year later. Well, they contacted us and said, you need to sign some documents. They actually, one of the guys told me that the original guy I got my loan from didn't have some documents signed that need to be signed. And I said, whoa, I don't know about this, and I don't want to do this. So, and they wanted it done on both loans. And so they started putting some pressure on us, and I said, I just don't want to do it. I was telling the guy, I don't feel comfortable doing it. And they couldn't even explain what some of the documents were that they wanted us to sign. And I said, no. Well, it kept on going like this for a few months, and we're still paying our payments in this time. But then they got to a point where they said, okay, you've got to do it, or that you're gonna be the these are gonna be severe consequences. You don't understand how severe. And I said, okay, well, I'm sorry, but I'm not doing this. I already did it once. And then I don't know how many, what was it, 3, 4 months later?
And I don't think we even missed.
Then you missed the
I don't
payment.
think, yeah, it was more so that we needed to re-sign documents for both,
Yep.
for the house and the building.
Both loans.
Yep.
And so we got the paperwork, and that's what they said, that you are in default. And right then we stopped paying, and it all definitely changed right then. It started they and
That quick.
it wasn't 3 months. They were waiting 3 months. It was happening right now. So they were already planning on it.
Yeah.
So, sorry, that was a
Really?
little long-winded. Yeah.
No, that's great. So, because you didn't file or sign other papers that the new bank wanted you to sign, they were it seemed like they were looking to default, right? Put you in default and then eventually foreclose, even though you were making all of your payments.
Correct.
Unbelievable. So now you said that you have a school building, I believe, and then
Yes.
your home property, right? Are
Right.
they both on the that original land patent that you read, or are there two land patents?
There are two separate land patents.
Okay. All right. And are both of them 160 acres, the original land patents?
I think our house was 240 actually. She's gonna look
Okay.
right now, but I think our house was 240 acres, and then I think and ours or the school building was 160.
Wow. You could seriously help a lot of people
Right,
just
absolutely.
in your town, let alone the whole county. That's awesome.
Well, it's
All
kind of
right.
cool because we did get several of them when we purchased these. We had a lot of our community in mind. So,
Yeah, we were actually when we were picking them out, we were going through, Mike was going through like the plots, and we were trying to figure out where certain people lived who we thought would start it. So when we were ready, we would teach them. So we already have, they don't even know it yet, but we already have some land pants for some people,
quite a few.
but yeah, that we think that we'll start it. So yeah.
And you,
Or, I don't know, I keep calling you Q, Michael. This is kind of strange. But anyway, I keep
really?
Michael, we figured though after doing this, there might be a little bit of a problem getting these land patents. So we grabbed as many as we could right when we were doing it. So
Great. That's awesome. Talk about a great neighbor, huh? I told you, folks,
yeah.
rock stars, absolute
Yeah.
rock stars. Okay. So when you decided to stop paying your mortgages, you kind of already answered this question, but I want to make it abundantly clear for all the listeners. Were you in financial trouble?
No, we were not.
And what was your credit scores like? I mean, was it down low? You couldn't get credit, or was it a respectable, back then
Yeah,
score?
no, everything was fine. I mean,
Yeah.
we've always paid our bills,
And
always.
we could get
Yeah.
any loans we
This
ever
is
asked for.
not, yeah. Yep.
Okay. Yeah, that really strikes me, because I know a lot of people are going to be really big on that, as far as trying to discredit you. Either
Right.
you're in financial trouble, or you are not as honest, like you said, a man of your word, as you say you are. But you did it strictly for ideological reasons. Is that fair?
Yeah, it is fair.
Yeah, I mean, for us, we're all in now. I mean, it's not just we're trying to free ourselves. It's not that. Like, we just want to be free. We're doing this for everybody. I mean, that's what we're doing. I mean, it's kind of crazy. Like, I've even had like my mom say, okay, well, what if I were to just pay it off? And I said, no, that's not what it's about. Or one of Mike's friend, he offered to come to the foreclosure sale and actually be a bidder, and then we pay him to get it back. And we're like, no, we're not doing that. We are in this to win it, not just for us, but to help free everybody, and
Yeah. That's absolutely tremendous. That is absolutely tremendous.
Well,
I called
Michael, we
you to
know,
what? Go
sorry,
ahead.
sorry. We know we have to have some boots on the ground. You definitely have to have your head in the sand right now. I mean, so far stuck in the sand. If you don't feel a change in this world, not just in this country, in this world, there is a change. And whether you like Trump or you don't like Trump, he's doing a lot of things. He's doing so many things. And people just think they're going to sit there and just be like, oh, let Trump do it. He'll take care of it for us. And oh, you got to have some boots on the ground. People have to put their money where their mouth is. They have to start doing that. And we figured that it's time. It's time to stand up. Everything's
Yeah.
here and ready for us. You just have to go get it. Go get
Go get it from you. It sounds like your neighbor.
it.
You got those
Yeah.
land patents ready.
Yeah, right.
But yeah, that's tremendous. And I couldn't agree with you more. I mean, I remember the day that President Trump was shot. What did he do? He stood up and he yelled at everybody, fight, 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 against these people that are trying to take him out and his entire team and what they're trying to do for us. It reminds me of the inauguration day for his first term of office. And he said, what we're doing is returning the power back to you, the people.
That's
And
right.
here you are, grabbing those reins and just going for it, both of you. That's tremendous.
Yes. Yeah.
So some of this may be a little bit redundant, but I want to make sure we hit everything. There's a lot of misinformation and disinformation out there about homesteading and Q's process and stuff. I want to ask you some questions about what you did or didn't do, right? So at any point, did you guys do any research on papal bulls?
No.
Do you feel that knowing about papal bulls would have helped you with this process?
No, I don't
I
know.
don't even know what it is really right now. I don't honestly, I've heard the term just recently, but I don't know what it is.
Okay. And do you foresee yourself doing research or getting involved with papal bulls in the future?
No.
No, we do not.
If I asked you the same questions about the Torrens filing system, would your answers be the same?
Yeah, never heard that.
What about researching the Michigan Constitution for this issue?
No, and actually, we just kind of learned that there was one just a few months ago. I actually just didn't really know.
Fair
As
thing as
most
that
people,
is,
as
right?
we did.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And what about banking terms and getting into those? You think that would provide any helpful information or any tools that you can use in this?
No, not for this process. No, that we were never, Q never discussed any of that.
What about the UCC and the terms in that? Would that
No,
knowledge of that
no,
help been helpful? No. Okay.
no.
No.
So let's go back to April 24th. You said that you were at the foreclosure for your two properties, the school and the house, and something was sold. What exactly was sold that day?
Well, actually, that is a good question. Because I'm sure after we get further down your question here, you're gonna see that we had both of our what was called a line of credit on our house. That's what was foreclosed on. And then the loan that we had on our building was foreclosed on. And it was extremely, this is how strange it is, Michael. Both of those were on the same exact day. Like they have the exact same timeline. Exactly. Our house and our building. And how is it the exact same day? That doesn't, just doesn't even make sense. All you gotta do is look at the paperwork and no, you don't, you know, the dates are totally different dates from the times when you get loans and then, but they're the exact same dates. So,
But yeah,
I forgot the
nobody bought,
question.
well, nobody bought it. So it just, nobody bid on it. So it
Nobody.
just went back to the bank. So,
Right.
So my point here is that, I'm trying to talk about the actual process, right? You received, so you bought the property, you were paying mortgages. At some point, you decided to stop paying the mortgage, and that put you into default. The bank sent you letters, I'm sure, notices saying that you were in default, and if you didn't pay, it would go into foreclosure, right?
yes, and lots of phone calls that we didn't
Unfortunately,
answer.
good for you. You listened to Q, you took his advice.
Exactly.
So then at some point, it was scheduled by the bank because that same bank held both of those mortgages, right? Or those credit lines.
Correct. Yep.
All right. So they picked the day and time and all that stuff to hold that. And then it was held by the sheriff of the county, I believe, or the town. I'm not sure how that works.
Yeah, the deputy sheriff.
Okay, but he's under the sheriff's office, right?
Yes.
Okay, so he held the sale, and what exactly, if you don't know, that's fine. What exactly was sold on that day? I think it's just the paper, right?
Paper.
You
Yeah,
just,
yeah.
I don't.
right. So it's just a mortgage. It's a right that can be extinguished. And based on some of the research that I did, after that, the sheriff has to come up with a sheriff's deed where he puts in certain information and stuff, and then he files that with the county, same place where the deeds are filed. But it doesn't do anything, right? That just sits there for, I believe it's 6 months. Is that accurate?
Yes, like
Yeah, yep.
6 months,
Right.
yeah.
Just and
Redemption.
is
Yep.
there redemption? What do you mean by redemption?
Well, you have 6 months or a year, depending on how much property, but 6 months or a year to redeem the property. So after it sells at the foreclosure sale, you still have 6 months to try to get it right and get it back.
But in this time, you have all these attorney fees and you
Yeah.
have, you know, the realtor fees and any extra costs. So I'm sure I can only imagine it's, you know, tens of thousands of dollars extra added on to it.
Okay. So, but the option is there if you had the means and the desire to get your property back, you're right, a change of heart, if you will, you could have gone in and said, no. Okay, bank, you know, I'm throwing in the towel. Here, take the money. We're making up all the past payments plus the interest plus fees, whatever you want to throw on top of it. We just want to go back to how we were before. Right, you
You
were
could
given that
definitely
option.
do
That's
that.
what the redemption period is for.
Yes.
Yep, that's they do give
Okay.
you that option.
Okay, so that's depending, like Leah said, either 6 months or a year. For you guys, I guess it was 6 months. And then at the end of that 6 month period, what happens then? What happened to you?
For us, that was
October 24.
a month and a half ago, and we were unsure what was going to happen. But in the meantime, we have gotten some documents now. It was quiet for a minute after October 24th for about a month. And then now we've started getting documents and getting some visits. And we finally got ourselves a court date,
Yeah, for
eviction.
the eviction. Yep.
Okay, so is it fair to say that somebody filed a lawsuit against you guys to get you evicted?
Yes.
And who is that?
That's Choice One Bank, or our bank. I'm
Okay.
sorry. So say that. Sorry.
It's fine. So, and that's fine. And it doesn't really matter, all the same, right?
Yeah.
Um,
Right.
and so, th because I guess it went back to the bank, they held the mortgages, the loans. They're the ones that have to institute that legal process, the lawsuit, to have you evicted.
Right.
Is that
Yes.
fair? Okay.
Yes.
All right. And then what do you plan to do in response to that?
Well, we did go and file our motion to dismiss. So yes, for motion to dismiss for lack of subject matter jurisdiction. So it's in the wrong court. So we did do that.
This entire process that was Hughes always said that it's going to be simple. I mean, he made it
Simple.
simple.
Motion to
You're
dismiss.
gonna file a motion to dismiss and be simple. So we finally got our court date, and it's an eviction notice. You know, it's going to be our eviction date, a hearing, and we were able to file a motion to dismiss with the court in.
That's coming up in January.
Yep.
Okay. So you didn't have to file a second lawsuit in order to file this motion, did you?
No.
Okay. You just went with the typical legal process. Somebody files a complaint and you come back with a motion to dismiss before you even start addressing the merits of their case.
That's correct, yes.
Awesome. How difficult was it to come up with this motion? I mean, is it a long, elaborate, you know, is it like a 20, 30, 40 page document, or is it a boilerplate thing that's out there on the internet? In
Yeah, there are some.
general,
Yeah,
right? Just
no,
give
it
us a
wasn't
general
very.
description. I'm sorry.
Yeah, I'm sorry. Yeah, no, it wasn't very long. No, because I mean, it's just kind of straight to the point. Motion to dismiss, lack of subject matter jurisdiction. So it's pretty much straight to the point.
What do you mean by that? You mentioned that before too. What do you mean lack of subject matter jurisdiction?
Well, they're in the it's the wrong court. So because it's a federal issue, and the state can't
It's a federal land
land
patent.
patent. So
So we're dealing with a federal issue in our state court. The one that we're getting sued in is a district court, and we're saying they're lacking jurisdiction. This should be a this is a federal issue. It should be heard and in a federal court.
makes sense to me.
I
So,
mean,
you obviously haven't had anything back on that yet, or you haven't been heard because you said that's going to happen in January.
correct.
Okay then. All right. It's getting close to that time. We only have about 5 minutes left. I still have some questions we get into, but before I do that, do you guys have anything that you'd like to comment on or supplement, add to before on anything that we've already said?
I don't think
I
so.
don't think so. Never know.
Not really. Yep.
Okay. Tell us about the redemption period again, right? Because this is important. You have the option to go and just pay if you want out and keep your home, right? You want to basically suspend the process for whatever reason. Either you got too scared or you no longer believe in the process. There is a 6 month window for people to basically stop this whole process if they just go and pay whatever fees are due, right?
Yeah, you could you could do that. To me, yeah, that is possible, but to me it's like I almost feel like the process though, once you get to a certain point, you're through 95% of it. You're now it's just you get to a point where you're just waiting on basically a response. So you're waiting for a response or you're waiting for your date, and then you can go through with it. I guess if you do get scared though, I mean you could for sure get scared and have to change your mind. So everybody's gonna handle it a different way. So
And I just want to emphasize that point, and I addressed it again because I'd like to give people a certain level of comfort that they can start the process and that there are ways of either not pursuing it, not even giving yourself a chance to go into foreclosure. Or once you're in or past that foreclosure, you actually have 6 months after that to pull back, So it's not like you're jumping off the cliff and there's no way back.
that's right. And we learned, Michael, that it's there are, if it's agriculture land, if it's farmland, if it's there's you might have a year of a redemption period, not just 6 months. There are definitely categories that put you at a year as well. So larger tracts of land, I believe. So
Yeah, I remember you saying that, and I guess that's in the statute that you referenced, right?
yes.
Or at least when we were talking, I remember the section offhand, but that requirement of the 1 year redemption period, that's by statute.
Yes.
Okay.
But like you said, I mean, you could go through this whole process, file all your paperwork at the Register of Deeds, and continue to pay your mortgage, continue to pay your taxes, and just wait until you feel comfortable, or maybe until we're kind of through all this. But yeah, so, I would encourage people to just get started on it because it's not going to hurt to get started and to have it all, filed at the Register of Deeds and ready to go. Because I think there was a lot of people that were calling in on the show that had done that, and then they were just kind of waiting.
Or
So
if anything, just having it as a security blanket, you get sick, you get cancer, or whatever may happen. And so you know that this is a security blanket. Well, maybe I do have a process to where I won't lose it. I'm going to be okay. Maybe I won't lose my home. So.
Yeah, great point. Right, you can assert your rights at any point along the way. Like you gave that example of the guy who got sick. You know, if he
Yes.
had already filed everything, he could assert that and at least have a fighting chance to stay on his property, if not actually win, which I'm sure he would have.
He could, Michael,
So,
if you go. Oh, I'm sorry. All right.
no, I'm sorry, we're just about out of time here.
Okay.
So I just wanted to wrap up. Again, you know, tune in again next week, folks. They're going to have lots more to say about the smaller steps underneath each one of those three categories going forward. But I would encourage anyone who's listening and happens to be, you know, in the neighborhood of Mike and Leah, they know them, know what's going on, reach out to them, see if they have your land patent and start going forward with the process, you know, and then shelf it if you want to until you feel comfortable. So, would you guys like to make any parting comments to the audience before we say goodbye?
Just thank you. Thank you for having us on to share this with everyone. We are really, really excited. Once we win, it's like Q says, it's going to be a bonfire.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know it's going to be. I feel it. And I'm so excited.
Yes.
Thank you, thank you, thank you both for doing this and being the way showers. Can't wait to talk to you again next week. Have a great night, you two and entire audience. Thank you for tuning in. BBS, Thomas, please take it away.
Whoa!